Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is the D Word Podcast, where we talk dementia. Welcome along, glad to have your company once again here on the D Word Podcast. Dentistry is our focus this week, but my guest, Dr. Joy Boskosim, a geriatric dental care expert and a house call dentist. Well, Joy, it's great to welcome you as my guest here on the D Word. Now, dentistry is not a subject that generally we would cover here on the D Word, but I think if you don't mind me saying, you're a little bit different as a dentist, because you know you're a geriatric oral care expert, but also you're someone that does house call dentistry, which is firstly something I'd never heard of until I came across you. And you also deal with a lot of clients who are living with dementia. So it's right up our street in terms of chatting about all of this. When we start, I mean, just tell us a little bit how you got involved in doing it all, really.
Absolutely. So I've been a dentist for 25 years. And about almost 20 years ago, my grandmother needed a new lower partial denture. And she had horrible sciatica going down her right leg. And so she pretty much was dead weight. But she wasn't eating much. And that became a problem, obviously, because there, of course, then was failure to thrive, right? We're used to that, connotation. And so, fortunately, she lived 10 minutes from my practice. So I and my dental assistant made her a lower partial denture in the comfort of her living room, when we called it comfy chair dentistry. And we, because she, completely lucid, kind of white light it to Graham. We told her, oh yeah, Grandma, I do this all the time, because we never wanted her to feel like she was, that she was a burden for us, right? That a burden was being placed on us to go the extra mile to take care of her. And she had chosen to stay in place. So she was in her home and she had constant caregiving. And we made her the lower partial denture because it's all palliative. It's all on top of the mouth. There was no inside drilling that needed to be done or any of that sort. And I had to deliver it on this particular Friday because that Sunday, the one place that my Aunt Mary, her daughter, would take her to would be church. And so as the story goes, my Aunt Mary rolls her into her Senior Ladies Guild luncheon that she was very much looking forward to going with 120 of her best friends. And when she talked, you only really saw her lower teeth. So she's smiling at everybody and they're like, Jeanette, you've got your teeth back. And she announces to the entire crowd that I make house calls. And that was not something that I was doing, but I got a frantic phone call from my Aunt Mary again later that day saying, oh my God, Joy, we must have given your office number out to 6 different families. And let me tell you, they all called and they all pretty much called within the next 3 days. And I saw every single one of those families. And once again, 10 minutes from my practice, they were all part of the same parish. But the first one was a situation where this woman had suffered a stroke 2 years prior. And she was completely immobilized because of it. She had a G-tube that was feeding her. And the family were brushing her teeth. And how they found me was the granddaughter was volunteering at this luncheon. And so I go there that night. I went there that Monday night, and I didn't know what to bring. I didn't know what to charge, but I figured if I could be a resource, if I could provide some help, some guidance, some education for their loved one, my work here is done, right? So I go there, and I've got the entire Italian family surrounding the bed, and because they've all taken care of Nona. And I, introduce myself to her. And in dentistry, the first thing we always do when we do a dental exam versus an oral exam, a dental exam, we lift up the upper lip to see what is going on. And sure enough, I found a complete upper denture. So she had no teeth on top. And then on the bottom, same thing. This woman was completely edentulous. She had no teeth. But these dentures looked very realistic. I have a feeling that she had brought a picture of herself to her dentist and was like, make the same, because this tooth was a little crooked and that tooth was a little off, and they didn't look like straight across teeth like you could normally see with dentures. And the daughter started crying, the granddaughter started crying, the rest of the family left because you can imagine the smell. They had been brushing her teeth, quote unquote, for the last 2 years without removing the dentures. So I'm thinking to myself, well, okay, I'm not going to blame the hospital. They didn't have to intubate her. They didn't have to do anything with the oral environment. So I'll leave them alone. But the home health care agency, how did they not look? And that's when I found out, and this is still happening all these years later, that they don't. They don't look in the mouth. If they do look in the mouth, they don't know what they're looking at, or they're doing an oral exam, not a dental exam. So they're looking to make sure there's no swelling. They're looking the back of the throat to make sure there's no infection. Like, they needed to do a test for like strep throat, for example. But they don't know what to look for when it comes to the mouth because they're not educated to do so. And so what they did instead was they asked the daughter and the granddaughter what was in her mouth. And they told her, oh, yeah, those are her natural teeth, because she never told them. And she's a widow, so I'm assuming her husband had taken this secret to his grave, and they were just dumbstruck. And I realized, that's where my career trajectory went, a complete 90 degrees. And I realized that this is something that I really needed to do. It immediately became my passion. My advocacy was to help those that, what we don't know, we don't know. To really educate families, to educate long-term care facilities on what does go on in the mouth, because it is incredibly important, not just to prevent infection, but to also help decide what kind of food plan they should be on. Do they need to be on a regular diet? Do they need to be on a softer diet? God forbid, do they need to be on a pureed diet? Because if we don't know these things and we try to do something different than they're accustomed to, what they've been familiar with prior to entering a community or choosing to stay in place and now have a caregiver with an agency that's providing support, they're not going to be fed appropriately. And then, therefore, once again, we can have failure to thrive. So there's a lot of issues that can go on in the mouth that can really affect the rest of the body. One of them being, ex for example, is bacterial pneumonia. Bacterial pneumonia, and when we are breathing in, or one that is, sedentary, that is in bed all day, are literally breathing in their oral bacteria, and those aerobic or oxygen, breathing bacteria get into our lungs, and they have a field day. So no one in any country should be suffering from bacterial pneumonia. Because if we're taking care of our mouths and we're controlling the bacterial growth that we have in our mouths, we would be able then to control, the amount of cases that we see, that I see, those that are, that have a diagnosis of bacterial pneumonia. So that's just one situation that can, be a problem, when it comes to oral care and for those that can't go to a dentist anymore.
Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Fancy being a guest on the podcast in 2025? Well, if you've got a story to tell, send me an email to tdwradio@gmail.com and we could be chatting next year. My guest this week is homegirl dentist Dr. Joy Poskosim. Yeah, you know, that's some story, first of all, how you you got into all this. But I guess it's really important that the role of carers and carers in care facilities, because, you know, we're a dementia-based show and people living with dementia may find it really difficult to express what they're feeling and what the problems are. So it's kind of vital that you educate the carers to look out for the signs, isn't it?
Yeah. So one of the first things that I look at when I look in the mouth is I want to make sure there are no mobile teeth. You know, those that are beginning to live with one of the dementias, we can focus on Alzheimer's to start, is the fact that they begin to develop apathy, right? There really begins to be less of an interest and taking care of themselves, let alone their oral care, let alone brushing their teeth, right? That really kind of falls by the wayside with all the other medical problems they may be having and need to be controlling. And absolutely, I respond to the medical doctors, right? They are first and foremost providing primary care for these patients that then I eventually will see. But there's also ways that we can help with looking in the mouth and making sure, without having to be a dentist, to see if there is a problem. And one of them is loose teeth. Why should we worry about that? Because they can become choking hazards. And for those that have become nonverbal and can no longer express a problem in their mouth, you know, checking on the teeth, you know, just kind of, you know, allowing, you know, hopefully that you can be touching them to make sure that there's nothing there that appears to be loose, then that's first and foremost. But another thing that is also very important is swelling. We're looking to make sure there's no abscesses, right? Because what can lead to abscess? A fistula and or sepsis. And that can, you know, that would require hospitalization. Anybody in any country would then require IV antibiotics. And that is horrible. Once again, no one should have to have that problem, but these are simple, you know, whiteheads or zits, if you will, pimples in the mouth that anybody can look for. And they usually do not cause pain. And that is really a big deal. So a toothache, of course, you know, there's obviously a problem with that tooth. Let's figure out what the problem is. But number two, for those signs that do not have any symptoms are actually worse, because that means that this bacteria that has caused the abscess has found a way to breathe oxygen and continue to grow, multiply, and divide, which is horrible. And so what can we do? We're looking around the mouth, we're looking around the gums to make sure there's nothing there that doesn't belong. And honestly, even if they're clenching their teeth, fine. Usually these abscesses, 90% of them are on the outside anyway. So once again, lifting up the oral lip, you know, tell, show, do, you know, mom, I'm just going to lift up your upper lip. I just want to make sure there's nothing there that doesn't belong. Lower lip, you tell them first what you're doing. Don't ask, because, you know, ultimately the answer will be no, you cannot do that. And how often does this need to be done? You know, once a month, once every 3 months, you know, if the person already has dentures, then you don't have to do this. But suffice to say, you know, if someone still has teeth, any one of those teeth can become a problem, even if it's been capped, even if it does have a full coverage restoration or a crown on it. So that is unfortunately a problem. So what can we do about it? You know, what can we do to help keep the mouth clean? What I learned when I became a certified dementia practitioner was that by following an action where someone has focus on, followed by another action, that focus has been maintained. So they haven't now zoned out, they are still focused. And so what I recommend doing is, like, for example, at dinner time, let's say they're at the dinner table and they're eating. So immediately after they finish eating, while they're still at the dining room table, bring their toothbrush and toothbrush to them, toothbrush and toothpaste to them right there. They've already had focus on their food. Now they can be focusing on this. And we can, you know, I know as the days are getting shorter, sundowning is becoming a lot more earlier in the day. But if we can do this immediately afterwards, then we don't have to really worry about resistance afterwards when any one of us can get cranky and tired and sleepy and not wanting to be do these things. Brushing the teeth does not have to be done in the bathroom, especially if we're afraid of a fall risk, right? So if we can do it immediately after, you know, after dinner, or, you know, if they're, you know, if they had their TV tray and they're sitting in their comfy chair, once again, bring it to them, put a towel across them. And, you know, if they're watching, you know, television, they're watching TV, then have them do it just right there, you know, and they're focused on TV and you can be brushing their teeth or they can be brushing their teeth, you know, in their comfy chair where they feel the most comfortable. Because a lot of times that bathroom, you know, that's even though it is part of the routine, over time it may not so much be part of the routine. And let's try to make things easier for them and ultimately ourselves.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a great example. You know, we said it before we actually started this conversation on air. You were talking about the ability to think outside the box. I
Yeah.
mean, in dealing with people living with dementia and dentistry, I know everybody's got this, you know, got this whole thing. I'll go to bed, brush my teeth, and it's kind of almost regimented from, you know, when you're knee high, as it were. One of the other interesting things, I mean, everybody thinks about teeth, dentistry, and teeth, but what about, you know, things like dry mouth and things like that, which are, you know, really important, aren't they?
Oh my God, yeah. And you know, there's two different kinds of dry mouth. There's quality of saliva and then there's quantity of saliva. And it's with women, especially perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, there is significant dryness that occurs. The salivary glands just do not produce what they should be doing, as they do during the day. And for the general population, for both men and women, especially with one of the dementias, and in this situation, it really does cover all of them, is that there's a change in circadian rhythm. And why does that matter? Because when we go to sleep, when the body is ready for sleep, our mouths produce 80% less saliva than we are during the day. Why? Because we don't need as much, right? We need saliva during the day to be able to talk, to have lubrication in the mouth so our tongue doesn't stick to the roof of our mouths, so that we can eat, so that we can drink. But at night, the only thing we really need is just for that simple coating of saliva and some minor production of saliva just to keep the mouth moist so that when we wake up in the morning, we don't have a sore throat or a dry throat. Or, you know, our tongue being, you know, really arid. But because with those, you know, that are living with one of the dementias, their circadian rhythm is completely off. We see this in both men and women that, you know, sometimes we'll see that they're not producing saliva simply because the body doesn't recognize the fact that it's during the day. Another problem with dry mouth too is medication. Over 85% of all medications cause dry mouth as a side effect, usually for chronic conditions. Usually, we'll see these side effects within 3 months of them beginning to take their medication, and we'll see also a dramatic decline when those dosages are raised if necessary. So that is a real problem too when it comes to dry mouth. So what do we do about that? Fortunately, there are a billion different kinds of over-the-counter dry mouth products. I can't pick one over the other. They are all good. There are sprays, there are mouthwashes. But more importantly for me, I really like lozenges. If we, you know, if it's still early stage for one of the dementias, then I'm a big fan of the lozenges. Why? Because it is making the mouth produce saliva. It is tricking the mouth to think that we are beginning to eat. And we all have an upsurge of saliva when we eat something, not drink something, but when we eat something. So if they're sucking on sugar-free lozenges, then that is perpetuating the saliva production. And therefore, having their throat being coated by said lozenge, and they are actually doing something to help with producing more saliva. Now, that's not going to really help the quality of the saliva, but honestly, I'd rather have some saliva in the mouth that is maybe thick and ropey versus no saliva at all, right? I'll take the thick and ropey because a lot of times they don't feel quote unquote xerostomia, which is the subjective feeling of dry mouth, right? So they may not feel dry. Their saliva might not be so great, but at least they have some. They're able to swallow better. And it will also help prevent dysphagia, which is difficulty in swallowing, because we are constantly then sucking on these sugar-free lozenges that will help to keep those muscles working in between meals to make chewing and swallowing easier. So, big fan of sugar-free lozenges. They're wonderful. When we get to mid stage, then we're going to probably have to use a spray. And once again, there's so many out there that are just wonderful. I recommend any and all of them, whatever flavor and whichever company, whatever brand really works for your loved one. And I tell that to the carers for us in the US, caregivers all the time, because it really does come down to patient preference. And just figuring out which one works best for them. And with Amazon, right? With Amazon, you're able to do a subscription service, right? So you can order them and then have them come in every month, every 3 months. They're usually cheaper that way. And that way you have a constant supply. You're not running out because you've ran out. And that's another way to help with dry mouth. But yes, and I truly believe that dry mouth and dysphagia or difficulty swallowing, losing the ability to swallow, go hand in hand. And so I'm a big believer in reaching out to swallowing specialists, and having them do their tests to make sure, okay, is this really dry mouth or is something now happening? Have we moved on to mid or late stage, let's say Alzheimer's? And they need to have a better support system when it comes to being able to swallow, number one, because of lack of quality and quantity of saliva, but also because of what the disease has now caused. And now we may need to change their diet to a mechanical soft or to a puree diet. So they all go, they everything goes hand in hand, everything's connected.
Yeah, I do, you mentioned Alzheimer's. Does it vary in terms of what type of dementia we're talking about to the types of dentistry and oral problems you're seeing?
That is a great question. It really comes down to patient management, right? It really does come down to behavior. And with Alzheimer's, I tend, generally speaking, anecdotally, that I see more apathy, where there's more, they just don't care. And that's where the carers really do have to come in and remind them that teeth need to be brushed. We're not monitoring anymore. We're actually doing it for them. And that's where tell, show, do comes in. I'm going to brush your teeth on the right side, upper right side now. I break it down into quadrants. Now I'm going to brush your lower right side. And by telling them what you're doing, I kind of tap on the side of the mouth, brushing the lower, brushing the upper. And that way they know ahead of time where I'm going to be with the toothbrush. That really does make a difference. I've also noticed with Alzheimer's patients as well that they don't like the feeling of an electric toothbrush anymore. That jiggle, that shake, that vibration really becomes abhorrent to them. They really don't like it. And so we go back to the manual brush. We go even sometimes we'll even go to a child's toothbrush if necessary. They're extra soft bristles, and therefore we can get in where we need to go without as much of a resistance, ideally, right? For those living with Lewy bodies dementia, we see they're way more verbal. They are also these are my swearers. These are my ones that are swearing at me when I'm attempting to brush their teeth. A lot of time they're clenching. And that's okay. I don't mind the clenching so much. If I can get the outside of the teeth, that's 50% of the mouth right there. That is definitely better than nothing. And it allows me to, and once again, tell, show, do. I'm telling them I'm doing this. I'm going to be looking in the inside of their mouth to make sure they're not squirreling or hoarding, pocketing food. So once again, that is also a choking hazard, right? And I see that in some Alzheimer's patients, especially in late stage. But I definitely see that with my Lewy bodies patients. They are not as aware of the food that is being potentially pocketed. And this can also be a game changer for their care plans on what foods are they going to be eating. They may be able to chew just fine and swallow just fine, unlike your Alzheimer's patients, But we may need to be changing their diet anyway, because now if they're pocketing food and it's very difficult to get a swab in there to swab out that food, we may need to switch to a puree diet or to a liquid diet in order to make sure that they are swallowing everything, or at least it gets absorbed and dissolved enough where it doesn't become a choking hazard. With the frontotemporal dementia patients, I noticed that they have a very difficult time at swallowing. So, very concerned about gagging on mouthwash, gagging on the spray, right? Gagging on the dry mouth spray. So, it's there, it, there, that defense mechanism, the preventative mechanism to prevent choking, has really become hypersensitive for those patients. And therefore, we need to be even more concerned about making sure that if we are brushing their teeth, we may just have to use water. But it's still better than nothing. We are still achieving getting rid of the excess junk that our salivary enzymes have not broken down and that we haven't swallowed. So in those three particular ones, I definitely see differences. And then when it comes to vascular dementia, for someone who a lot of times have suffered a stroke, we also have those problems. A lot of times we'll see them on a G tube, so they can't even, swallow any foods anymore, like I had with my first patient ever, besides my gram. And in that situation, they were brushing, but fortunately they had suction. They had been able to, she was in hospice, so they were able to get suction for her, and so they were able to suction her mouth, and they still were using, toothpaste. Not everyone has that luxury. So, if we're even if we're only brushing with water, but I will say for everybody, I'm not a big fan of the swabs. Different people will say different things. I know hospice nurses will say go to the swab. I 110% disagree. The mechanical effort of the toothbrush bristles do a far better job in getting rid of excess foodstuffs than those swabs do. The swabs are great to go on the inside to collect gross foodstuffs, but they don't do enough on the tooth surface to help clean off the tooth surface of the remaining plaque and smaller food deposits that we can get on our tooth that ultimately can lead to tooth decay and dental caries, dental cavities. And I can't stress that enough. The swabs are a great adjunct, but they're not the be all and end all. We really are trying to promote, even if it's a ultra soft child's toothbrush, infant toothbrush, that mechanical action of removing the stuff off the surface of our teeth and our gums is crucial in order to help maintain a healthy, clean mouth.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Here on UK Health Radio, we have nearly 50 weekly shows on all aspects of health available for listen again and download from the website www.ukhealthradio.com. My guest this week is Dr. Joy Poskozim. Yeah, it's fascinating this, you're educating me as we go. I almost went into dentistry actually many, many years ago, but I actually shot off and had a career in public health. And the one of the things, really, I've read your blog, which is excellent, by the way. And one of the things that people perhaps don't realise so much is the influence of oral health on dementia and on brain health in general.
Absolutely. It was really interesting. We didn't really know Well, they didn't know. I just read the reports. I had nothing to do with it. I just read the research, but they really didn't know chicken or the egg. What came first was the plaque deposits in our brains for those that are living with Alzheimer's. They were finding oral bacteria in there. And, what kind of role did that play? And this was across the board. This was everybody. I mean, this was in all, on all continents. Everybody was seeing this. And what they do know now is that those that are living with Alzheimer's in particular, because of those plaque deposits, they have a compromised immune system, right? The immune system is going haywire, trying to keep the body and everything healthy. And so therefore they have a weakened blood-brain barrier. And oral bacteria, like pretty much any bacteria, but I can specifically talk about oral bacteria, obviously, they're not sedentary. They're migratory. They like to move around. And if there's overcrowding, they're going to find another place to live. And so they'll migrate and they'll cross the blood-brain barrier and get into the brain, and they actually help promote already existing plaque deposits from the amyloid, proteins that form in the brains of those living with Alzheimer's. And it's a very insidious bacteria. It's bacteria that specifically causes gum disease. And so we don't always think of gingivitis or gum disease as a chronic condition, but it is. And it's really interesting because, as a dentist, I can cure a cavity. It's called a filling. Right? Or, if you need a root canal or if you need a crown, there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end, right? And so in the US, for example, when we do our dental codes, it's all very procedural. There are no diagnostic codes. All our procedures are coded, and the diagnosis is just assumed along with it. So for example, if I'm doing a filling, there's a code for that, and the assumption was they had a cavity. Right? There's no diagnostic code that goes along with it. There's no need because now that cavity is gone, that tooth has been cured, and it's been filled and it's been taken care of. And unlike gum disease, that is a chronic condition, and there are different levels to that. There's early onset, there's middle, there's advanced, where we start to have bone loss in and around our teeth, and that's where teeth begin to wiggle, and unfortunately, there's tooth loss. And so, unfortunately, that bone doesn't come back. But that's considered a chronic condition. And guess what? If we're not taking care of our mouths, who is? And it is our immune systems, which can once again be weakened by the fact that we have this chronic oral disease. And until it really becomes an importance, a priority for overall health, for one of the chronic conditions to be looking for, it's once again, to use that phrase again, it's going to go by the wayside and not going to be considered as important. But it's really unfortunate because the what's causing it is bacteria, and bacteria is causing it's infecting the area just like any other kind of infection. And the thing that really stinks about all of this is that your oral bacteria and my oral bacteria are completely different. The variants are completely different, or strains, I should say, bacterial strains, viral variants. Their strains are completely different. So, for example, if you had a skin disease or skin infection and I had a skin infection, we probably would both be put on the same antibiotic and we would heal within X amount of time, right? I'm a woman, I might take a little bit longer. You're older, you might take a bit longer, but within within that regimen of the antibiotic, we will both heal. The end result will be the same. And unfortunately, we don't have that with the mouth. The different bacterial strains are superfluous. There's so many of them that one simple pill to be on a regimen of an antibiotic is not going to cure this problem. And that's where we come in and for our own mouths, but let alone our loved ones and those that we are caring about. We have to be doing this on a daily basis, ideally twice a day, to once again help reduce that bacterial growth, to get ahead of that bacterial growth so the mouth can stay healthy, so the immune system can now focus on the more important parts of our bodies, like our vital organs, you know what I mean? Like our heart, lungs, and brain, so that we don't continuously have that problem. What's interesting, as one more thing, is that those that are completely edentulous can also still have, completely without teeth, can still have this bacteria in their mouths. Why? Because the gums are still there. So we still need to be cleaning out the mouths to once again stay ahead of that bacterial growth. Just because they have teeth, and they have bacteria, if all the teeth are gone, I've solved the problem. Unfortunately, that's just not the case. And so the mouth still needs to be cleaned. Those dentures still need to come out. We still need to make sure we're cleaning those dentures off to make sure there's no bacterial growth on them. Because once again, we don't need an oral infection perpetuating a problem or and triggering a much larger medical issue.
Yeah, I think, as a result of what you've said, a lot of listeners will be looking at their toothbrushes in slightly a different way, I think, having heard this. It's been
I'm
fascinating. Sadly, time is bringing us to a close. We're going to have to meet again and talk more about this, most definitely. But thank you so much for now, anyway, for being my guest here on the D Word.
It's been my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to Dr. Joy, who certainly taught me a lot. You can find out more from her website, which is at joyposkozimdds.com. Well, that's all we have time for on this edition. Thanks for your company, and I hope you'll join me again soon for some more Dementia Talk right here on the D Word Podcast.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.